Good morning, everybody. My name's Larry Jacobs. Happy Monday to you all. Easter Monday. It's still Passover. And I hope everybody's enjoying their various holidays or a combination thereof. It's a pleasure to have you here today on Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. You might be listening on the archives, and if you are, that's cool. We archive everything over at ace-ed.org. That's our consortium for equity and access in education over at ace-ed.org. Our magazine is over there, which is appropriately titled Equity and Access. That's an online journal. It's pretty darn good. I hope you take a minute to click on the icon and read through it. It takes more than a minute, but I think you'll enjoy it. Our website is filled with information, and we have links over to SEL Today, one of our other websites, which is all about social-emotional learning. It's a great resource center if you want to check that out. Again, you can link from ace-ed.org. And also, we're very, very concerned about teacher retention, teachers staying in the job, the educator shortage, and we've created a website. We hope you go over there, check it out. It's called, it's linked over at teacher retention at ace-ed.org, but if you want, you can check it at teacher-retention.com. Okay, we're trying here, and we're very concerned about that. I'm going to talk to our guests today. We have an AASA show, the School Administrators Association Superintendents, okay, and I've got Jeff Dillon here. Jeff, it's Larry here. First of all, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Larry. How you doing today?
Welcome back. I'm good. And, Jeff, you've been with us before. Welcome back.
Yes, thank you. It's been a couple of years, yeah.
It has been. But I remember all too well. But the one thing I can't remember, Jeff, and you're going to have to pardon me, is your school district, is it Wilder or Wilder?
It's Wilder.
Wilder. And I didn't want to mispronounce it, so I wanted to ask you. I just couldn't remember which way it was pronounced. Wilder, Idaho, where Jeff is the superintendent. And we may be joined by Ken Wallace. He has not called in yet. He's the superintendent in Illinois and Park Ridge at Maine Township High School District. Okay, number 207. So hopefully Ken will call in. In the meantime, Jeff, think you can handle it by yourself?
I can handle most of it by myself, I'm sure.
I hope he calls in, but if not, you're here. And I got to say something, Jeff. I looked up your biography before we started the show. And you were born, if I'm read it correctly, you were born and raised in Wilder?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, that's and then correct. You became a teacher and then a principal, and now you're the superintendent.
Well, I left the state of Idaho for many years and came back and started working at the district that I went to as a principal. So
okay,
I did do my teaching experience here.
You know, I got to tell you something, and my point in bringing it up, hey, congratulations on all that. Idaho keeps Wilder keeps pulling you back. Okay, they're very lucky to have you there, and I'll tell you, you know, it's so important for someone to have the temper of the community that they work in, all right, and understand the people and the needs of the people, the needs of the children. Of course, they change over the course of time, but you're a wild, no pun intended here, you're a Wilder guy, okay, and you get it.
True, absolutely. Family still lives there. My family migrated there in the 30s, so
wow.
Yeah, long history in the community.
Where'd they come from? From where?
Missouri and, Missouri most part, yeah, where they came from.
Was it potatoes that drew them? Because I live in Maine, the other potato state, okay? We talked about this last time,
actually,
I remember.
Our community is most well known for its hops.
For what?
The brewery industry. Hops. H-O-P-S.
Hops. You know, I thought you said, I'm laughing now, I thought you said pot, P-O-T. Right. And congratulations on that, too. Okay, hops, yeah. Really? Like hops, barley, and all that sort of stuff?
Oh, absolutely.
I'll be damned.
Absolutely.
That's very, very funny. Okay, good community. Where is Wilder? Tell everybody that. This is great.
It's very simple. We're in the southwest part of the state, about 45 minutes directly west of the capital of Boise there.
Cool. And what's the community look like? Is it really rural, or is there a town? What's the population? What's your school district look like?
The school district size is about 525. We're a small rural school district. Town is approximately 2,000 and expected to double in the next 5 years. So
Idaho's popular.
Growing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Idaho's
it is very popular.
Popular
right now. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's
and
the,
congratulations on your house. Congratulations on your house quadrupling in value in the last year. Congratulations on that.
Yeah.
That's California
yeah.
moves to Idaho. I read all about it. I know what's
yeah,
going on there.
Definitely.
Okay. And what do you have? You have one element. What do you? Two elementaries, maybe one middle school, one high school. What's the situation?
We have one elementary, one middle high school. The high school,
oh,
nice. Middle school, the one building, but it's two separate parts of the building.
Cool. Okay, that's just great. Look at how many kids will graduate this year.
40.
Congratulations to them. Okay, and just before we
yeah.
get into all this, yeah, before we get into all this, well, are most of them going to go to college? Do both of them do agriculture? What's going on? What you
well,
doing?
As we, as we get into the topic of the show today,
yeah.
you know, one of the things that we did many years ago, we talked about was really transforming. A system to personalize learning for students.
Yep.
By doing that and putting
yep.
a lot of work in our SEL opponents and equity for all
nice.
Students, we've transformed our student rate going on to college from 25% to 80%.
Wow. Congratulations. Wow. Wow. Are they going to 4-year, 2-year? What are they doing?
It's a combination.
I think it's great.
Amazing. Students that are going to a 2-year with a plan for a 4-year, but their pathway for saving money and they truly have their head on their shoulders.
Yep.
They have a plan. They have a purpose for what they're doing. They're not just going to college because it's a trend. They're truly going to college with a purpose. And
isn't that wonderful?
It's really great to watch our kids take that next step.
It is great. And by the way, I congratulate them. I'm a big fan of 2-year community colleges to start off as kids find their
Absolutely.
Way. Okay, it's less
yep.
expensive. Okay, the professors are excellent from what I know of them. Okay, and the kids can learn what they like. Okay, before they're spending before they get the $100,000 of debt. Okay, they can start
yep.
to understand what they like. So I'm a big fan of that, and I congratulate all the kids graduating and all the teachers who from K through 12 who made that possible, I might add. Okay, sometimes we forget those early year teachers, and they are so darn important in all this
they
sort
are.
Of stuff. And let's talk about this. This is an AASA show. Thank you, Jimmy. Oh, look, you just joined me. I got to bring on Ken. Is that okay, Jeff? Can I do that?
Oh,
I'm going to bring Ken on. He just joined. Just join. Let's bring him on, okay? Ken Wallace, are you there? I saw you just clunked in.
I am here. Sorry for the mix-up. I was trying to get into this on a Teams meeting invite, and I forgot to call the number, so I'm here, though.
There you go. Ken Wallace. Ken, I'm Larry Jacobs. It's nice to have you here. Okay, we're already talking to Jeff over in Wilder, Idaho. And Ken, I want to bring you on here for this. Maine Township Superintendent at the High School District. Welcome to Illinois, where every school has its own district in beautiful Park Ridge. I used to live in Chicago and Deerfield. I know the area well. All right. And Ken, welcome to the show. And just so you know this, your good buddy over there, Don Ringelstein, is going to be on the show on Thursday. Okay. Just
oh, my goodness.
CETA.
Small world.
How about that, huh? Yeah, you're CTO. So I just
yeah.
wanted you to know that. So you can harass him about that. Tell him how much fun it is.
Good.
All right. And before we go further with Jeff, I don't mean to interrupt you. Ken, tell us about Maine Township, your high school district.
So we have 3 large comprehensive high schools, 6,400 students, serve
wow.
9 communities that wrap around the northeast side of O'Hare. We used to have 4
yep.
schools. The Breakfast Club was filmed at Maine North, which no longer exists. And we're Google's first K-12
great.
Partner and one of America's most innovative districts. And just
well,
thrilled to be here.
There you go. Right. And it's almost the same size as Wilder, Idaho. Am I correct? That was a joke.
That's funny.
Okay. Right, there you go. Okay, so isn't it amazing, the difference? Okay, it's just incredible. And that, by the way, again, Ken's district is a high school district. Okay, so it's amazing the way the districts shake out. Well, you're just in time for this, okay? We're just starting to get into this, all right? And just for fun, Ken, how many kids are you guys graduating this year, coming up soon?
So we'll graduate about 1,700, 1,750 kids a year.
Wow, that's great. Congratulations on that. And just so, do most of them go on to, since we asked the same question, most of them go on to 2-year or 4-year college? How's that shake out?
Most of them do. We've got each of our students has an individual career plan, so we're really trying to promote apprenticeships and trades as well.
Nice.
That's actually the largest distribution of good jobs in America actually exists in the space beyond a high school degree and before a 4-year degree. So we do send a lot of kids to 4-year college, but we're trying to really make sure they know why they're going in the first place.
Thank you. And thank you both for actually saying the same thing on that. I really appreciate that. Okay? And you know, to get kids into manufacturing and all that sort of stuff, everything, as long as we always say the phrase college and career ready. And I always say we just can drop the college with the word college. Okay? We get them career ready.
Yep.
If that involves a college education,
yep,
that's fine. If it doesn't and just needs some higher ed training, that's fine. If it goes into the trades, that's wonderful, too. And if any of them become a plumber, please have them call me. There are no plumbers here in Maine anymore. Okay? So just have them call me immediately after they graduate. Okay? And it's true. Both of you, and again, this is an AASA show. Good morning, Jimmy Minicello. Okay, AASA's Communications Director, my good buddy. AASA is the School Superintendents Association. And both of you were recently with the cohort for something they call IDEAL, which is just what education needs, another acronym. Here we go, everybody, IDEAL. Okay, Innovative Districts Empowering All Learners, IDEAL. And that's kind of exactly what we were just talking about right now. Do you want to comment on that? I'll go back to Jeff. Jeff in Idaho. And by the way, Jeff, thanks for getting up so early. It is pretty early out there right now.
Well,
okay.
I'm actually over on the West Coast right now, and it's
even
a little earlier than where I was. Yeah.
Even worse. Okay. So.
Yeah.
Where are you? What are you doing on the West Coast? Where are you?
I'm visiting some family over here in the central part of Washington State.
There you go. Enjoy the apples. Okay, they're great out there. Okay,
we'll see. They had four inches of snow last Monday, and it kind of hurt the apples here in some of the areas. So we'll see what happens.
Wow. Well, enjoy Washington State. Talk about whole idea, and I love this, Jeff. And you can talk about this, and then we'll get back to Ken. Empowering all learners. That is so darn important. Just talk about what you learned out in the Arizona cohort with AASA.
Well, I know Ken, he's the co-chairman, and he can probably give you all the wonderful words of wisdom on the mission and vision. For me, as a district innovation, I've always stretched myself and my mindset for my district by really putting myself in a position to be around leaders of innovation and different types of innovation. And so for me, I've always been drawn to organizations and cohorts such as AASA where I can be a part of a system that helps me grow and develop as an empowered learner myself for my students and staff so that I can empower my students to be innovative learners. Hope that kind of answers that question for you a little bit.
Well, you know, it does. And actually, you brought up something. I always ask this question in terms of the students. You know, how does empowering all learners impact the students? Okay, but you just brought up an equally interesting point. How does it impact the students? When you can say something, it's easy to say, oh, we're an innovative district empowering all learners. But then you really have to do something beyond that that actually makes that happen. Okay? And Ken, why don't you talk about that? You know, there's an action involved. It's not just saying I'm in the group. Ken?
So
how do you make the changes?
So if you distill it down to an individual learner, each of us is an individual. Each of us has our own learning journey. And for too long, what we've done in education is that we've sort of industrialized the learning process so that, you know, everybody gets the same thing at the same time in the same way. And it turns out that doesn't really work well for a lot of people. Each of us has our own pace, our own style. And so the whole purpose of the cohort is to really create conditions within schools that honor each individual learner Certainly there are things that happen at the same pace and same time, but within that framework, the ability, for example, we're in the state's competency pilot. Well, if you can finish your English course in a semester as opposed to a year, what
right.
other possibilities open up for you to do an apprenticeship or other things? And instead of treating time as this fixed equation, one of the first things that happens is you allow space within a system for students to learn at their own pace. Well, that's incredibly liberating. Beyond that, you open up opportunities for students to learn in their own ways, to demonstrate their own mastery in their own ways, and it doesn't all have to be the same thing. What you're really trying to get at more than anything else is creating a love of learning and creating, we want a lifelong learner. But then we've designed schools to be really boring and industrialized to where people just can't wait to get out of them. And when the purpose of the ideal cohort and really personalized learning is to create conditions so that I honor Larry Jacobs as a learner and try to take advantage of the things that you're passionate about, the skills, the gifts that you have, and harness that to really make you the most powerful learner that you can be. And then the bigger idea then is, can you take that to scale? Can you do that for each of your students?
So you built your entire district around my needs. Is that correct? Did I misread that, Ken?
You did not misread that, Larry. In fact, that was on our strategic planning mission.
That's right.
If we can fix Larry Jacobs, we can fix it all.
You can fit anybody in there. And, I think that's wonderful. And if you were doing it just for Larry Jacobs, you would have really stopped math in ninth grade for Larry Jacobs, because I didn't do well in 10th, 11th, and 12th. Okay, which brings me to my next question. And I'll ask Ken, then I'm going to ask Jeff. You both believe it in the individual. Recognize the individual needs, and that's what we're all about here with equity. Okay, that's what it is. It's finding the individual needs of each student. But then you have, in both Idaho and Illinois, both coincidentally begin with the letter I, okay, which actually is an interesting point considering it's personalized learning. But there's standardized testing, okay, that you have coming down from the state. So how do you work the needs of the kids passing a standardized test or being measured by a standardized test as opposed to their individual needs? Okay, I don't know, Jeff, do you want to take that one first? Then we'll ask Ken.
Well, I can take it first. I have a board that supports students, not the test. And so we have we've really tried to focus on what's best for students. Knowing that we have to work on the test. So I'm probably not the best one to ask when you talk to most superintendents about test scores, but my test scores regards to the state test don't help my kids get scholarships or PT certifications. And so my responsibility is my students, and that's what we put our most effort into.
Well, I would disagree with you that you're not one of the best people to ask that question to, because I kind of agree with you. Ken, your thoughts. How do you balance
my district's an interesting district. Just since the turn of the 21st century, we have gone from having three majority high schools to two of our three high schools being non-majority. Our poverty has tripled, and our test scores are higher than they've ever been against those two variables. And in education research, if you get poor and you get more diverse, typically there's an inverse negative relationship with testing. That said, how did we get better? By not focusing on testing, but rather focusing on good learning conditions. Each of my teachers has an individual coaching plan, so they get coached every year to just really do great in their classrooms. So you focus on that variable. You focus on empowering your students to be better learners. And the test scores actually will take care of themselves. So we've gotten better by focusing on really good learning conditions and not actually focusing on test scores. I actually love what Jeff said. He's got a board that supports students, not necessarily the test. It's a political construct that is really – what's happening in the larger universe. You see all the universities that are going test optional. The word is out on the test scores. What they really tell you more than anything else is where do the rich kids live? And that's axiomatic. And so if we can get past that and think bigger and more broadly, and understand that our job is to create the very best learning conditions for every single kid. What will end up happening just as a result of that is kids will be able to score better on tests, but more importantly, they're going to enjoy learning, because this turnaround and takeover mentality is narrowly focused on increasing test scores. And you can do that marginally, but guess what you also do with that? You make kids hate school because you make them think it's about standardized testing, and it's not.
Right. You know, you guys are both great thinkers on this, and you went to Arizona on AASA's cohort, okay? And you shared your experiences with other superintendents from across the country. And you visited schools. I know I have a note here. You visited the Maricopa Education Center, which is more a trades-oriented, CTE-oriented, in terms of auto mechanics, welders, beauticians, bless their hearts, electricians, home builders, and plumbers. As soon as you get one, call me, okay? And all these people are extremely important. And may I ask what – and I'll go back to Jeff. Jeff, what did you learn from – besides Ken, I know you and he did, but what did you learn from your trip there? Okay, you seem like you're already doing a great job, but what did you share? What did you learn with your fellow superintendents when you were at the cohort?
What I learned is to continually push toward equity for students.
Nice.
You know, I think we talk equity all the time. The system of education is not about equity. It's just the opposite traditionally. And
yep.
We continue to have to push against that and begin to look at areas and ways in which we can remove those barriers for students.
Great.
Remove those barriers of equity. So we know really how to empower our kids from pre-K all the way through the system. And that comes through quality, diverse CTE programs. And really,
yep.
How do we redesign our learning spaces for our students? The system pulls us back into a square box where we close the door and we open to page 42. And that's a hard pull. And the system has to continue to push against that if you want to be innovative. And I think we just learned that we have to continue to push forward and push forward and push forward and lean upon experts in education that are doing this work. And when we need help, there are great superintendents out there that we can support each other with.
Well, and you guys, they're learning the same from you. You two are terrific superintendents. Ken, what'd you learn from your fellows out there? Fellows being men and women, I might add. Yeah, I don't like the word fellows.
Well, one of the highlights of the visit, Larry, was actually going to Christy Wilson's district. Christy is a former AASA president, and we got to see the John McCain elementary school there, and what Jeff and I got to witness there was, you know, Hattie's got this concept of learning being visible so that the learners, adults and students in the building know exactly what it is we're trying to do, why we're trying to do it, and that school was just a really good example of that. You had students, kindergartners, first graders, second graders, all coding, working in groups independently. You actually didn't hear a lot of teacher talk. It was more teacher guidance. And you had all of these students empowered. And I think that's what Jeff and I both are saying. When you actually give students agency and support them to be great learners, that can happen within the system. But you can't always come back to, as Jeff says, you can't come back, everybody's on page 42, because everybody's not on page 42. And we saw a perfect example of what that looks like. And the value of the cohort experience is that I get to spend time with really great superintendents Jeff and others around the country. And AASA has really given us a platform to then take the best work that's happening in America that really is advancing individual learner efficacy and equity for each learner and help spread that across America. And that's really, I think, one of the big pushes behind the Learning 2025 Network. AASA has some really aspirational thinking about this, and
they
want this to be a transformational experience well beyond the 100 or so districts that are in it. I mean, they're really trying to grow to 2,000 or 3,000 districts, which gets us, I think, to that critical tipping point in education in this country.
I agree with you, and I want to remind everybody that there were – we're going to talk about Learning 2025 in just a second. I remind everybody there were 12,000 districts in the United States, okay, more,
yeah,
actually. And to get 3,000 of them is just the tip of the iceberg. We need a lot more. We're going to talk about Learning 2025, but, Ken, I want to ask you something, which – you know, you're a high school district superintendent, the way Illinois shakes out, okay, where Jeff is a K-12,
yeah,
pre-K-12 probably superintendent. Okay, Ken, when you go as a high school superintendent, which is what you are, okay, managing three high schools, okay, how does what you learn at an elementary school, what do you take back with you to Park Ridge, and how do you share that information with your friends who are the elementary district superintendents? I'm just curious, because Illinois has got a weird district setup.
It is an interesting setup, and I worked 19 years in the pre-K-12 system before coming to Maine Township. So I'm really familiar with that. But what I really do, first of all, I meet frequently with my elementary superintendents. We really make sure. I just hosted them last week for lunch, and we're rebuilding all our high schools, so we toured that. But then we have a standing agenda, and we try to articulate as much as we can. But really what we're trying to share with them and get them to be a part of this is that those great learning conditions that begin in preschool, frankly, are actually the most important learning that ever happens. And the research bears this out. If you can start students, especially students who are at risk in the pre-K level, in the elementary level, and you can and create conditions that make them want to love learning and help them become better learners, there's nothing you can do better to support their growth through high school and beyond than beginning really at an early age. So this
that's
isn't
right.
exclusive work. It's inclusive work. And that's really the message that we're always trying to send with our elementary districts. We've had some success there. I can't say it's perfect. Jeff has an advantage in that he's much better able probably to articulate this vision from a PK-12 standpoint than a high school district can or an elementary district can on its own. So that's why the communication's got to be really, really sound.
And by the way, you both know this, when your district becomes absolutely perfect, quit, because it's not perfect. Not that we're always going to be striving for perfection. We're never going to get there. We're just going to keep trying to do that. Okay, and it's just really something. I want to swing over into something else here. You mentioned it, Ken, and I think both of your districts are involved. And I've talked to Jimmy Minicello about this a little bit. I want you guys to talk about it. We hope to get a lot of districts involved in this through AASA. It's called the Learning 2025 Network. And I know from Jimmy and working with him, this is an extreme, and Mort over there, okay, Mort Sherman, that it's a this is an extremely important initiative, the AASA, the Learning 2025 Network. Both of you have kind of be part of it. You're both volunteered into it. And, Jeff, I'll go back to you. What do you hope to see out of this, Learning 2025?
What I hope to see is a continuation of the Ideal Cohort, really, and a larger platform. Kids doing some amazing work in Illinois. And there's some districts down in Arizona and other parts of the state across the United States. And what I'm looking for is to be able to partner with great superintendents and organizations to continually build upon ways, like I shared before, how do we empower all those kiddos in systems and really begin to push the system of education in America and transform it. We need 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 districts across the United States to begin to take on empowering learners, creating equity opportunities, quit marginalizing kids, quit labeling kids. And we need to stand together. And the AASA Leading 2025 allows us to do that. And there's some great leadership with AASA, as well as Dr. Daggett and Dr. McNulty, and they really provide sound research support for us, and the leadership of partnering and cohorting and putting us in the right groups together for conversations. So it's really a great opportunity for us, especially when I'm coming from a really rural district in Southwest Idaho.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you're in a very rural area, and to have this kind of expertise with you and tap into it is incredible. Ken, what are your thoughts on Learning 2025, the new network?
I think it's you know, the mechanics of school, there's a large body of research on that. And people that want to know what best practices are, you can see it. You can find those things. I think the bigger piece is exactly what Jeff said, which is this, you know, the power that we have together. I think this is a larger conversation. It's a moral, ethical, and political conversation about what
Thank
is
you.
School about.
And
we've created this political construct for a whole bunch of reasons that you don't have enough time on this show to get into. But if we can make it larger than that and apply what we know about how humans learn best, we'll understand that when we reduce the quality of schools to variables like standardized testing, we miss the forest for the trees. And
right,
I think the
right.
power that we've got together, and there are encouraging signs. Again, the fact that higher ed is going test optional, that's peel back the layers of those onions and understand why, because that idea travels well. And I think what this Learning 2025 mission has the potential to do better than anything I've seen probably in my career, and I've been at this a minute, is to really galvanize people across the country, Jeff in Idaho, me in Illinois, Christy in Arizona, and all reaches beyond, Sherry Kamai in New York. And can we, through, you know, a vehicle like AASA, can we help change the landscape by helping the people that make the policy understand that we've got to rethink everything about school, and it's long past time
That's
to
right.
do that.
That's right. You are so right, and that – you know, the pandemic did no good, okay, but it did give us opportunity, okay, to look at ourselves, okay, and hopefully make the changes. And you both kind of said this. I'm just going to say it, okay. We've got to get education out of the political realm, and I understand there's always politics involved to some degree, okay, but we got to let the experts do it. We were starting to understand, literally, through neuroscience, how people learn. Okay, and when you understand that, okay, it is a science. I have a Bachelor of Science in Education. I'm hardly a scientist, okay, but I do have a BS, and this is one of the things that we're talking about, okay? Education is not – it's the art of teaching the science of education, okay? And that's something we really, really have to understand and do well, and I hope you're learning 2025. No network, I think it's going to work just great. I know AASA is going to make this happen. And I think Jeff said it. We have to stand together and make these things happen, what we know. I want to ask you both something, okay? And I can segue a little bit here. When you were in Arizona with AASA, you went to Arizona State. Okay, which is a really good university, especially in the world of education. All right, but the world of education professionals is shrinking. You both know this. It's hard, especially in rural areas. It's harder and harder, okay, to get kids A into going into education and B to find teachers again as everybody's retiring these days. Okay, I don't have to tell you guys what's going on out there. We're working a lot. We're just starting to get into it on this educator shortage. We have this new website called teacher-retention.com. We're trying to get people's thoughts and best practices, best ideas. And I'm going to ask you guys to Ken, I'll start with you. Ken, your thoughts on the educator shortage, I'll just say it that way. What's going on in Park Ridge?
So we're growing our own. And literally, so I mentioned that each of my students has an individual career plan. So with a lot of intentionality, our kids can get college credits for their pre-service work in education. A high percentage of them, I go and talk to the senior classes, and I'll have 20, 25 kids in a classroom. I'll say, how many of you are planning on going into teaching? By that time, our kids have gotten out in the field. They've worked with elementary, middle school, and high school students to really solidify their decision, and 99% of them raise their hand. In just the last four years, because we survey our kids, we've gone from 4 years ago, about 2% of our students identified teaching as a career of interest. This year, that's up to 7%. of our students are identifying teaching as a career of interest. So think about it this way. We've got to stop demonizing education. We've got to start supporting
it
and supporting teachers, and we have to solve our own problems. So and this is – what we're doing is not unique. There's a lot of Grow Your Own programs. Illinois has a lot of them, and they're around the country. But we're really supporting it by getting our kids out in the field. We have partnerships. You ask about our elementary districts. Well, I send kids down there to work with all of their students, whether they're – you know, advanced reading, behind reading, special education students. We work with all of the students. We put our high school kids in there to really let our high school kids try on teaching to help them make better decisions. We got to stop this idea of, well, go to college and figure out what you want to do. No, that's not nearly good enough. But I really believe that the answer is in the Grow Your Own concept. You've got to really promote teaching within your district, and there's ample opportunities locally in anybody's locality to get kids to try on education while they're still in high school.
And will you, if a student of yours does graduate as a teacher from an education school, okay, do they have a kind of an in back in to Park Ridge?
They certainly do.
Dibs,
I mean,
or whatever.
Well, you can't really necessarily do that, but what you can do is you know, what we've actually had probably more students that I'm aware of who've gone into elementary education. I know several of our graduates in the local area who are elementary education, but we are seeing, and we've interviewed and hired a few of our own graduates come back and teach for us. I can't say that, you know, that I'm not going to make any promises that I can't commit to say, well, if you graduate from us, we're automatically going to hire you back.
And, oh, no,
you know,
no,
but
I didn't mean
we
that.
Do the best that we can. Let's put it this way, and this is what I tell parents, is if your student will go out right now, as you pointed out, this whole segment, there's a teacher shortage. So a student going into education right now has a relatively good chance of getting hired, getting a job. So we know, as opposed to some other degrees kids could get, there's actually a shortage and a need for teachers across the country. There's certainly some states
certainly
better
is.
Than others to teach in, But I like the odds of our kids going out and getting education degrees, because I think there's, you know, it's not going to go out of style.
And also tell them that the really cool part about coming back to the school where you went is you got to call your teachers by their first names. That's very key. That's very key. All right. Jeff, what's going on out there? But it's harder in a rural district, okay? Less populated state, rural district. It's kind of like where I live in Maine. But you go ahead. Tell us about Idaho and Wilder. With teacher retention.
Absolutely. Ken nailed it. He really did. We have to grow our own. But when you look at rural settings, that's very, very challenging to think about grow your own. I actually had a conversation with a higher ed person a few months ago and said that we didn't have a pipeline issue. And I just shook my head. It's like, across the nation, we have a pipeline issue.
Yeah.
You know, we have to really begin to rethink how we're preparing individuals going into the teaching profession. You know, education keeps putting more and more on the backs of teachers in the classroom, but yet the model to prepare teachers hasn't changed in probably 75 years. And it doesn't make any sense to me that we're using the same model to prepare teachers.
That's right.
For a classroom that doesn't exist.
That's right.
We have to go back and rethink.
That's right.
And redesign, which we saw down in Arizona. How can we begin to build a system where we have a apprenticeship approaches to putting, you know, teacher prep for putting those individuals in the classroom as soon as we can, alongside master teachers for 2 to 3 years, really get
mm-hmm.
them an opportunity, to experience the classroom, be prepared, knowledgeable about how to individualize, personalize learning for students, and really develop a classroom in the appropriate way. We have to begin to rethink our preparation program for education and partner that really with what Ken said and grow your own. I think those two approaches will grow the profession and will keep individuals in the profession longer.
I hope you are right. I hope you both. I know a lot of teachers are leaving the profession, according to NEA. 48% of teachers are thinking about leaving. And I just read an article in Ed Week last week about the challenge that's out there right now. And superintendents face that every day. And I just hope that you guys don't face that, that all of your programs work well, including your AASA programs. Guys, we got to go. Thank you both. I've got, both of you actually got up early for this, Jeff especially. So enjoy your time in Washington. Go snowshoeing, I guess, with the apples.
Yes. Absolutely.
Thank you for being here with
Thanks,
us.
Thanks, Larry.
Bye.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome. And Ken, tell Ringelstein he's coming on the show. You can prepare him for the ordeal, okay, on Thursday.
Done.
Okay?
Done.
Yeah, got it.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
Be
all
good,
right,
guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you both. Take
okay.
care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, Jeff Dillon from Wilder, Idaho. Ken Wallace, superintendent of Maine Township High School District, 207 in Park Ridge, Illinois, near O'Hare. AASA is at AASA.org, and they are really trying to change the way superintendents manage their districts and the way education is changing. They do a hell of a good job. Okay, AASA.org. Please go over and see what we do about teacher retention, SEL, all these things, and equity over at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.